I want to preach this message because I believe this message is very relevant to the times we're living in. And if you've got a Bible, you can open it. I know you've got a Bible. You don't come to this church without a Bible. You have your Bible. Open it to 1 Kings 17. And I'm going to read about the prophet Elijah. And the reason I'm reading about the prophet Elijah is because of what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us that before Jesus comes again, before the time of the tribulation, Malachi 4 says this. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, when it says, "I will send you the prophet Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day," that is not the coming of Jesus, because that was a wonderful day. The coming of Jesus was a wonderful day. He's the Messiah. This is talking about before the tribulation and before the great and dreadful day. What this word is saying is that there'll be a release not of the person of Elijah, but the spirit of Elijah. Like John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah, and he was called to prepare the way of the Lord for Jesus. And before Jesus comes again, there will be an end time release of the same spirit to the remnant church to prepare the church for the return of Christ. And I believe that we are in that hour, and God wants to raise up a powerful remnant church that actually carries the uncompromising spirit of Elijah. Now, Elijah was someone who was powerful. He could stand on Mount Carmel, call down God's fire, but the fire isn't what's important. The important, when God came down on that mountain, the people that were compromised came back to God. And that's what God wants to put in His church today, to make you not only pure, principled, but also powerful. That you're able to call down God's presence, God's fire. You're able to call down the reign of God into families, into homes, and you're able to speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. And when Elijah spoke the word of God, people were convicted. And I believe God is looking to raise up a remnant who can, like Elijah, stand on whatever Mount Carmel God gives you, stand before people, and call them out of compromise. Call them, preach the gospel, and minister life to people. Elijah's first assignment, when he was released into ministry, he went to a widow who was starving. Her family was starving. But he spoke a word to them, and that word sustained them and gave them life. And this is what God wants in His church today. Now, I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings 17, because before you can stand on Carmel, this is a saying, before you can stand on Carmel, you first must have sat at Kereth. And this passage is about a season in Elijah's life where God told him to sit in a ravine. And people say he sat in that ravine variously from 6 months to 18 months. Verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Kereth, which flows from the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he talked to her and said, Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. I'll stop there. Now, here is a play. Here is a season. And I love the story of Elijah because he just appears. It doesn't say where he comes from. He just appears. He appears out of the wilderness. A man with this leather belt around kind of a fur coat that he used to wear. He was unusual. And God just brought him out of the world. He just appears on the stage. And he appears at a time where Israel is in deep moral decline and the religious system is completely broken. And whenever a community or a society gets into that condition, God doesn't, you know, look for an army. God raises up a man or a woman. That's what he does. He raises up a man and a woman. And I believe God wants to raise up not just men, and he wants to raise up companies in this last hour. Companies with the spirit of Elijah in them. And he is told to go and sit. He delivers this word, which God has told him to Ahab, there will be no rain except at my word. That means there's going to be a drought. It's the judgment of God come upon this corrupt society. Then the word of God came and says, get away here, turn eastward and hide at the brook Kereth. Now, you've got to understand, he was told to hide in a pretty open place. And at this stage, Ahab and Jezebel, we know, were trying to kill him. And he was considered an enemy of Israel. And this corrupt king were trying to kill him. And God says, go and hide in this place called Kereth. And he said, I want you to sit there. And for a season, I'm going to feed you by a raven. And he's going to bring you roadkill, bird, meat in the morning and at night, and bread. Now, when you think about that, that's a supernatural provision because a raven eats meat. It eats meat when it finds it. It doesn't carry it to somebody. So it's a supernatural provision he's going to be fed by. And he's going to be fed by a stream or a brook in the midst of a drought. So God says to him, turn and go and sit in Kereth. And see, when God says to him, sit in Kereth, this is the man God has called. This is the man God has deigned to use. This is the man that God is going to anoint with his power. But if God is going to use you and anoint you with his power, before power, there precedes preparation. And Kereth is a season of preparation that Elijah must go through before God can use him. And if you will be used by God in this generation, God will prepare you. He must prepare you. And you see this in Scripture all the time. Moses has a type of Kereth. It's called the wilderness. He was there 40 years being prepared because the calling was so big. Joseph had a Kereth. He sat in a prison, and that prison was his preparation for the role of prime minister. David had a preparation. He had a preparation in a cave of Adullam, where he sat there 10 years, 13 years, being prepared by God to be king. The Apostle Paul was called, chosen by God, and then spent between 8 and 11 years in the Arabian wilderness, wondering what was going on, but God was preparing him because he was a vessel God had chosen to use. So before God uses you, he's going to take a season, a place where he will prepare you. And Kereth is a place of isolation, but the word Kereth means the word in Hebrew means cutting away. And when we are told by God to sit in Kereth, it is a time where God wants to cut away things from our life which are contrary to being useful for the things of God. So God wants to, when he is preparing you, he will cut away your worldliness. He will cut away your fleshly habits. He needs to cut away all of our pride. And it is a process. It is a season. Because he's got to bring Elijah into a place where he is humbled. He no longer depends upon the flesh. But his dependence is completely upon God. He's coming to a place where he's sitting there. He's getting closer to God. God is revealing to him the things that are not right in his life. He's letting them go. And this is the way the Holy Spirit cuts things from our life. You can see Jesus say the same thing. He says, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch to me that does not bear fruit, because we're called to bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bear fruits, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So when you're in a season, a Kereth season, God is cutting away. He may cut away relationships that you depend upon that keep you from being righteous with God, keep you being in God's holy pathway for you. He may cut away joy. He may cut away careers that are contrary to the will of God. But he prunes you. Most of the thing he's pruning is your character. He's pruning all our worldly habits, all our fleshly habits, all our self-sufficiency. We come to not depend upon ourselves and know that apart from him, we can do no thing. And we come to a place where we're completely dependent upon God, where we know unless we're abiding and in close intimacy with him and his life is flowing through us, we can do nothing. And God has to bring us to the point where it's not just a knowledge, it's a true revelation that I can do no thing without the anointing of the Spirit upon my life, without his word coming to me. So I'm speaking his word, not my word, and I'm completely dependent upon that connection. And it's a season where God is cutting away. And I believe the church has been in that season since COVID. God has been preparing his church, and there has been kind of a wilderness. But it's a purpose, it's a Kereth experience that we will let go of the things we've depended upon for life before. You know, some of the things he's got to cut away religion. Has to cut away religion because we think, you know, religion is serving God apart from relationship. Everything we do that's going to be effective has to come out of connection, has to come out of intimacy. The only thing God says you can do that's acceptable, that doesn't come out of that place, is helping widows and orphans. So God has been doing that, and he's preparing a company in this season. So Elijah has to sit there, and God is working on him. He's cutting away things. And God says to him, he gives him an instruction. He says, get away from here and turn eastward. Hide by the Kereth brook. And Elijah says, as soon as he got that instruction, it says, you'll drink and eat from the brook, and the ravens will feed you. Now notice Elijah's response. He doesn't say, now wait on. Who's ever been fed by a raven? A raven's not going to bring me food. A raven eats meat and roadkill, doesn't bring it to people. But the word of the God came to him. And when it came, it says, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and stayed at Kereth. Even though it made no sense, sit by a brook in the middle of a drought, wait for ravens to feed you. He learned the lesson that what God craves most out of his people is obedience. And sometimes that obedience needs to be radical. It needs to be an obedience that I don't understand what you're saying, God, but I do know what you're saying. I don't know how this is going to work, but I do know what you're saying. And you know, one act of obedience, one small act of obedience is worth 20 years of sitting hearing sermons on obedience. Because sometimes God's just saying, I want you to honor your parents, but they abuse me. And he says, I want you to honor them. That's my word. I want you to forgive that person. Now, why it's important to learn that God is our commander who is to be obeyed, not necessarily understood. Because God commands Elijah, then he obeys Elijah. Elijah obeys God. And then God speaks to him again. So many people want to say, I wish I heard the word of God. God speaks, we obey, and he speaks again. But if we don't obey what he says, he stops speaking. He only speaks living words to those he knows are serious about obedience. I will give you a testimony from my own life. We have this ministry to nations, a missionary ministry. But just before God opened the doors, I stood in our old church. One day I got all excited and I said, I used to be a commodities trader. And someone from my past has rung me. And they've said, I want you to come and give talks on the gold market and speak to these Chinese investors on the gold market. And my friend was an Indonesian Chinese fellow, but his English wasn't so good. And he said, I want you to come and do this. And every talk you give a talk once a month, I'll give you $10,000. And I said, oh, God is using my past. God is blessing me. And who remembers there was a lady here? You want to speak about someone who heard from God. A lady here called Dixie. She's passed now, but she had one eye, and she was a very, very different lady, but she used to hear from God. And she came to me after that message, and she said, Pastor, that's not God. So I snarled at her. We didn't have a lot of money in those days. I was like, ugh. You know, when someone tells you something and you don't want to hear it, but you know it's God. You know it's God. And so I tried to push it away, and I tried to justify the fact that, oh, look, we can employ another pastor with all this money. It's all going to be great for the kingdom. And then God woke me one morning. You know, sometimes God will wake you, and he'll put the fear of God in you. Yes, he is love, but he's also a consuming fire, and he'll manifest as a consuming fire, and you'll be afraid. And he said to me, your mouth is consecrated for the gospel, not for money anymore. You've turned back from that world. You're not to go back to it. And it was so clear, and I so knew I'd got out of the will of God. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. My friend lived in Mossman. I was on his doorstep, knocking on his door at 5 a.m. His wife came and answered, what are you doing here? I said, I've got to tell you. I have to come now and tell you I can't take that job. Praise God, his wife understood. Ivan had no idea. God bless you, Ivan. But I tell you, as soon as I did that, even when I'd come out of that building, I remember getting into an elevator and feeling a fresh anointing that I'd never known. Like God, he blesses obedience. And very short time later, the doors open to the nations which I've been believing God for. And God will test our obedience. He wants us to be able to obey him when we don't really understand it. Why can't I speak? Why can't I generate an income? I still don't know why, but I know what God said. I know what God said. And he will test our obedience, and he's looking for obedience. And why it is critical is because if we don't obey, he stops speaking. God spoke. It wasn't unclear. Elijah heard God, Kereth. He obeyed. Then God spoke again, Zarephath. The only reason he got the second word was because he obeyed the first word. So God, we are his sheep. We are meant to hear his voice, but he speaks to the obedient. That's the key to blessing. That's the key to your calling, your calling, your destiny. Now, there came a time where it says here, the ravens are bringing food. And Elijah must have been sitting there every day saying, this is amazing. Everything that God says happens. These ravens really don't eat the food. They bring it to me. Hey, this is not natural. It is supernatural provision. And this brook, it's a drought, but there's still water there. And he's sitting there and he's thinking, God's word can't fail. Everything God says is true, and I'm living by not natural provision, I'm living by a supernatural provision of God that comes through obedience. So he's sitting there, and then the brook starts to dry up. And he sits there and he's watching, he's thinking, wait on, the brook was flowing even in the midst of a drought. But now the brook starts to dry up. Sometimes God will lead you to places and you'll get there. And the provision will dry up, but God has another purpose. You know, I just know somebody, I was just thinking on the top of my head, so God told them to move cities for a job. And they got there, and 3 months later they were retrenched. And they're thinking, I know God told me to go here, but the person they'd met in that 3 months, one of the people they met became their wife. So sometimes God leads you to place. Things will dry up like they did here. But point I want to make is when God is preparing you, careth is not forever. Careth is a time of preparation. And there comes with God, if you are called, and we're all called to be used in some ways, there's a time of preparation and there's a time of activation. When God sees that you have, yes, the stuff's been cut away. Yes, we're really obedient. Yes, we've learned the lessons of divine, how He works, divine provision, divine protection, divine healing. We've learned all these lessons. God will activate you. Now, listen to what Ecclesiastes says. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this, and it's one of my favorite scriptures because it's just so profound. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is time and there is purpose. Your purpose comes at a certain time. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Time to weep and a time to laugh. It goes on and on and on. Time to make war and a time for peace. So God is a God of seasons. And Psalm 102 verse 13 says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, the set or appointed time has come. So God, for Elijah, he had a season for Elijah to sit at Kereth. That was his season. And why did he know his season was sitting at Kereth? Why did he know that was the season? God didn't want him to do anything else except sit, be pruned, be developed, be prepared. That was his season. How do you know what your season is? Because some of you are in a season of wilderness. Some of you are in a season of sowing. Some of you are in a season of harvesting. How do you know what season you are in? A season is defined by a rhema word from God. That's what your season is. God will speak to you a word, and that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's not what other people are doing. It's what you're supposed to be doing. And some of us are at Kereth. Some of us have been activated. Some of us are being pruned. Some of us are sowing. Some of us are reaping. There are seasons in God. And it's important to know that God is a God of seasons, and our seasons change. You know, we can't change a season, but when I look out there You know, spring or winter has turned to spring. And so when winter turns to spring, unless I take my coat off, I'm going to be in trouble. There's new things that are required when seasons change. And we can't change the season, but we can notice the season is changing. And Elijah knew his season is changing. How? Because the brook started to dry up. When God is going to change your season, the grace for that season will begin to dry up. It begins to dry up. And sometimes what people, the mistake they make, when the grace starts to dry up, they start to panic. And here is Elijah, the water starts to dry up. He didn't run to find another water source. That's what some people do. They say, this is drying up. We've got to go and find another source of water. But here he is, it is drying up, and he sits. And what does he wait for? He waits for his word. And the new word is Zarephath. Zarephath, not careth anymore. You know why it's important that you know what season you're in? What does God say to Elijah? He says, arise, go to Zarephath. Then the word of the Lord came. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Dwell there, see, have commanded a widow there to provide for you. To provide for you. How was Elijah being provided for at Kereth? He was being provided for. God said, sit in Kereth, and a raven will come, and the raven will come and provide for you. The brook will provide water for you. So his provision at Kereth, the provision was at Kereth, because that was God's word for him. That was his season. The provision was where God's season for Elijah was. But now his season has changed and he moves to Zarephath, and that's where God's provision is. And we need to know what season we are in, because if we don't move into the new season, when God speaks a word, we are not going to live in God's provision. God's provision is connected to the season we are in. And that's why God's people need to be like the men of Issachar, who understand the times, understand the seasons, so that we're in the right place with God and we can live under his provision. There's a time in John, I think it's in John chapter 1. I'll read it. John the Baptist. He's the man. The ministry is all about John. John stood in verse 35, chapter 1, with two of his disciples and looked at Jesus as he walked. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus, and turned and seeing them following him said to him, what do you seek? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? He said, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. One of the two was heard John speak and followed him. Was Andrew, Simon. He first found his own brother Simon, who said to him, we have found the Messiah. And they brought him to Jesus. Now, what was that all about? They were with John the Baptist. That was their season. And John was who God was using. John was in season. But then John said, the season's going to change. You're going to go to a time where I decrease and Jesus comes and he increases. And the disciples, they were with John. But they sensed when they heard Jesus, this is a new sound. This is a new thing God's doing. This is a new season for us. And they moved out of the old season like Elijah, and they move with the new and now word. And that's where God's provision for their life was. Sometimes you've got to get up and go. You've got to move with your word. And if you don't move with your word, you will miss God's provision for your life. You'll miss it. We can't just have milk words every Sunday. Sometimes we've got to have a meat word for those that want to be used by God, who want to serve God, who want to get activated and know God's ways. And I believe we're in a season. We have been in a season where God's people have been going through a season of preparation, being prepared for greater things. And you know God's been challenging about things in your life. God's been saying, I want you to drop this. I want you to get rid of that. There's a purpose in that. There's a purpose because he's looking for a remnant to use mightily in the end times. Now, when you're at Kerith, what is God doing? He's teaching you lessons, isn't he? What was one of the lessons Elijah learned at Kerith? He sat there every day, looked up in the sky, and he thought, this is amazing. Yesterday, this dirty bird, by the way, Jews didn't think ravens were clean. And sometimes God will use someone that you think is unclean to provide for you, just to get rid of your religion. And you know, I'm going to tell you, when God provides for your ministry for your life, when I first started in ministry, I thought, oh, some big businessman will come. It's never that. It's a raven or it's a widow. It's always the most unlikely ways where God's provision is found. It's just astounding. But anyway, every day Elijah is sitting there and he's watching the dirty bird, looking for the dirty bird. Could you imagine that? You're sitting by a brook and the dirty bird's going to come and you're thinking, is he coming today? What's he got? Has he got a bit of beef? Has he got a rat or a mouse? What are we going to have today? And every day your mind is saying, don't be stupid. The dirty bird's not going to give you meat. And every day the dirty bird comes and drops, bang, there you go. I don't know if he barbecued it. I don't know if he ate it raw. I don't know if it was barbecue or sushi. But every day the meat turned up. And then he knows that a drought has begun. But he looks at the brook and thinks, surely the water's going to end. Water doesn't end. The water keeps flowing. Every day he's sitting there saying, none of this makes sense. None of this, but his lesson is this. Through obedience, we come into a different source of supply. The world has a source of supply. It's just your job. It's just working. It's just the money. But God has another source of supply. He provides for his children. And Elijah learnt, through obedience to the word of God, the supernatural supply of God is released. He learned that lesson. And it wasn't something he heard from a preacher. If you really learn something, revelation comes through experience. Unless you've experienced that word, your revelation is not complete. And you need to experience it so that you can minister to somebody else. So he comes, God says, I'm going to provide for you. And he goes, I don't know how this is going to work. And then the raven turns up every word. The dirty bird comes. He goes, this is amazing. God has a source of supply for his servants who obey him that nobody can understand. All we've got to do is obey the word, and that supply from heaven is released over our lives. That was his lesson. And now when he goes to Zarephath, what happens? The first person he meets is this widow. Yeah, God says, go and meet that widow. She's going to provide for us. He goes there and he thinks like, well, she's going to have a palace. She's going to have lots of cows. She's going to have lots of... And he comes to this woman and he says to her, hey, woman, you're the one that God's told me he's going to supply. And it says that he said, please bring to me, when he saw this woman, a little cup of water that I might drink. And as she was going, he called out and says, oh yeah, also I want a morsel of bread from your hand. And she says to him, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar, and I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So it wasn't the mansion, a terrigal. It was a woman who had very little. But listen to what Elijah says. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cup from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. But thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, which was the word of God. So what did she do? It says, so when she did according to the word of God, she and her household and Elijah ate for many days. The bit of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which God spoke through Elijah. So Elijah had realized when he obeyed the word of God, he came under supernatural supply. He goes to this woman who has nothing, is about to die of starvation. He says, you obey the word of God. And as soon as she does, obeys his word, does something completely unnatural like he did. She goes and makes bread for him when she's about to run out. God opens heaven. She comes into God's supernatural supply. See, the things you are learning, they're not just for head knowledge at Kereth. The lessons you are learning now, you are going to minister to other people, and you are going to, like Elijah, speak a word that brings life to dying families. That's it. Bring life to dying families. And the things that you are learning now in God, the lessons that God's taking you through, the revelation you're getting about his ways and his words. If you listen, if you obey, if you let him to refine you, prune you, there will come a time where God activates you. Because you're not supposed to be pruned forever. You're not supposed to be chastened forever. We are supposed to be useful in the vineyard of God. The Western church is full of spectators. And I believe many people spend their whole Christian experience sitting in Kereth. Oh, I've been refined again. I've got to go through more refining. Got to go through more. No. If we go through God's refining, if we go through the pruning, if we become truly obedient to his word, that's just for a season. He is looking. His eyes are roaming to and from the world to look for people who he can send into the harvest fields of the world. And I believe there are many people who God wants to activate. He wants to activate. The season, even as a church, we're in a season of change. Recently on my last visit, I got a fresh word from God. And the word was missionary. So for my life now, my primary role is a missionary to nations. That's my primary. I'm still preaching here, but the season for the church is changing. I think that's exciting. You sense things drying up. Sometimes you sense things drying up. That's a good thing because it means the season is going to change. And I believe there are many people here who are in a similar position where God's been doing, ministering, and you may sense things are not the same. What I will say to you, this is a time to press into God. This is a time to stay closer to God, be intimate as the branches for the vine. And you know what God will do for you at the exact right time, at the appointed time when your season of preparation is over, he'll give you your word. He will speak your word to you. Maybe evangelist. Maybe start a business because you're no longer just going to be provided for by someone else. I'm going to bless you so that you can provide for others and support the kingdom. Whatever it is, I believe it's time to actually press into God, to seek God in this season and say, God, what is my word? What season am I in? Show me what season am I in. Because his provision is connected to that season. And don't let me sit at Kereth. Or don't let me be out of season. Let me be living and walking in the now word over my life. That's where God wants you. That's where his power is. That's where his provision is. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. Press in. You know, at Kereth, Elijah had a lot of time. Church had a lot of time during COVID. time of isolation for Elijah. Church, many people were isolated. It was the time to press into God, and it still is now. Still is, to get intimate like a branch with the vine. And God will whisper to you what season you are in. And at the right time, He'll whisper a new word to you. I believe many people are going to be activated in the end time, move of God, before Christ comes. There will be a Elijah remnant who want to be used by God. And like Elijah, are able to bring life into dying families. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to be church attenders forever. We're not. It's just a season. Then we're supposed to be activated. Hey, disciples, just like Jesus. That's what He's doing. That's what He wants to do. Let me pray for us. Let me pray. Father God, I thank You. You are unchanging. And Lord, we are living in times of moral decline, compromise in the church, and Your eyes are looking for those who You can use. Lord, Your eyes are looking for those who You can prepare for Your use. And Father, if we are in the season of preparation, I ask that You would show us. If we are in the season of refining, I ask that You would show us. I ask that You would speak to the things in our life that You want to cut away. Father, if we are in the season of learning radical obedience, Father, help us. Help us to know the power, the blessing that comes through obedience. Help us to not just understand it. Help us to be obedient quickly. When You say forgive, when You say give, Father God, we will be obedient quickly. Because, Lord, it's what You desire, Lord. Obedience, not sacrifice. And, Father, I'm asking in this season, we will be kept so close to Your heart. We will know absolutely for sure what season we are in. We will not panic when we see the brook drying up, but we will wait and expect that You are the living God, You are the speaking God, and we will expect to receive our word, the word for this season in our life. And Father, I ask, Lord, that we will have the faith to obey that word, that we will live in the place where Your provision is found. We will live where You want us to live. We'll be doing the things that Your word is commanding us to do. And that nobody will get stuck at Kerith in this season, but they will experience Your supernatural divine provision, which provides materially, it provides health, provides open doors. Lord, that's where You provide where Your word is. We may live under that, Lord. Let nobody miss God. Let us all have an ear to hear what You're saying in this season. Individually, corporately, that we may be where You want us to be. We may be doing what You want us to be doing. And I thank You, Father God. I thank You. You will have a people. You will have a people that You will use mightily in these end times. Let it be me and let it be us. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let's stand up and praise Him. Let's stand up and praise Him.